What a day it's been. We've had a chance to talk to three of our rookies in this rookie class today. Three guys we hadn't had a chance to talk to. Bowman, kid out of Oklahoma. We talked to Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. Georgia fans, you got to hear what Xavier Watts said about going to that game and the physicality of it. It's on the way in the 5 o'clock hour. And then, Mike, the big lineman out of Wisconsin, Jake Nelson.
Who sounded just like you'd expect a big molly whopping tackle who came from the biggest party school in the Big Ten to sound like. And it's funny because all you do, like most guys who were listening during the interview, they said they got on the Wikipedia, like on the Wikipedia page, just Google the name /NFL, and you'll see something. And in the case of our new offensive tackle, I mean, his dad looks like he could play right now. Almost looks like a dude that could be an extra in a movie with Schwarzenegger. So that's kind of fun, but it's really great to hear Xavier Watts. You'll want to hear that, guys, at 5 o'clock because you'll hear his take on that Sugar Bowl. He was the defensive MVP against Georgia in that game.
Yeah, he's a baller, man. And look, I think we got, as I said, the day after the draft or the weekend after the draft, our speed went up on defense and our playmaking. Those are two areas we just got better at. You can never have enough speed. And certainly when you talk about ball hawks, you can't have enough of those guys either. So those interviews are on the way, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. On the way a little bit later on, some guy talk, and we continue to address what happened last night. These NBA playoffs are crazy. They just are. And Mike and I spent a lot of time talking about the Celtics simply because this story, if they lose, this is a huge – you go from the championship, Mike – to being up 20 in two games against the Knicks team that you have obviously shown you're better than, right, but yet you're down 0-2 in this series.
And then everybody was skeptical about Coach Thibodeau. Everything figured Tibbs will run these Knicks into the ground and these guys will be dying. But it's amazing. I mean, because you think, and we've heard this from like Trey, we've heard a bit from other Hawks players, are you going to make a comeback? The energy that you've got to exert to do that.
Yes.
That's like it's a whole different animal. And then you got to finish them off. So this is one where the Celtics, I mean, yes, you got to go soul searching. And as we said earlier, what are you going to do? Reinvent your half court game now? You're going to go down to Madison Square Garden. Now you're going to be, I was a line from Teddy KGB. Now you're the Celtics, big and tough. You won't be pushed around. Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll dive back in, man. Tonight we get a chance to see what the Golden State Warriors are going to do without Clay, or should I say Steph, not Clay, but he's not going to play in this game, and I don't think he plays in the next two.
Because the Thunder didn't monkey around. I said to Carl, both the Celtics and the Thunder were 10.5-point favorites. Vegas figures, they mailed it in, whatever, they'll figure it out. And Oklahoma City just dropped a hammer. I mean, it was like, nice story, Luka. I mean, they were just all over it. And, Westbrook was like making cry faces and stuff. It was a beatdown.
Braves lose to the Reds last night. We'll talk to Grant about that. Grant Holmes, look, it felt like it was a lot more than just the four runs because of the way the game went last night. But we'll dive into it and the curious decision that Snit made to pinch hit Eddie Rosario. That's all on the way. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. All right, before we get to Nick Saban is expected to serve as the co-chair for the Trump administration's Commission on College Football. Look, when you start putting commissions together, Mike, it's always interesting because, you say, what does that mean? And do they really get anything done? Or is this just a bunch of guys complaining about what's wrong and then nothing ever gets done? I don't know.
Well, generally, when you have a congressional committee, that's the latter, not the former. Basically, it's just a bunch of guys grandstanding and nothing ever gets accomplished. But in some cases, you can have the college football czar just give Nick Saban the keys to
that. Give him the keys, yeah.
And give him whatever power he needs to go do his thing. But as we said, I mean, the moment you try to curb some of the NIL and some of the earnings, someone's going to go to a federal or a circuit court judge and have a lawsuit. And then you get slapped with an injunction, and that gets stopped in its tracks, the way things have run the last like 18 months.
So there's also a Texas businessman. His name's Cody Campbell. He is also going to serve as the co-chair along Saban, with Saban, should I say, and they're going to examine prominent issues facing college football. Okay, transfer portal, unregulated booster compensation.
And here's the thing. Is that what the NCAA is going to be narking everybody on now?
I don't know.
I hate the fact that some of these things give a chance for the NCAA, which was this close to being irrelevant, a chance to be empowered again.
To come back. Yes, right? To come back. Well, I've always told you, these guys, and I'm saying these guys, these schools are not going to police themselves. I've always told you that. I mean, there's no
Wait a minute. Michigan benched their coach for three. Yeah. There's two. Now, granted, they cherry-picked the games he's going to sit
Correct.
Out, but they self-discipline.
Well, that's how you do it. What games do you want to miss, coach? What's the schedule?
Well, I tell you what. How about you don't go to New Mexico, but you play the game against Oklahoma?
But they're also going to look at the employment of college athletes, Title IX. These are some among the hot button topics.
Because Title IX was the big, big roadblock for everything. And it's like it doesn't exist. It's like irrelevant, since we've gone to NIL.
Well,
it's basically become a free market society. Those things which draw fan interest, draw more money, basically get more money. And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
But this is why you can't get anything congressionally passed, because Title IX is still looming. That's why you need the congressional part of this. But this is interesting. And look. I'm not going to say it's not going to help. You got great minds talking about this. Okay, terrific. But it gets back to, and remember, Senator Tommy Tuberville, Mike, is up there also lobbying for all of this. Despite what kind of coach you thought he was at Ole Miss or Auburn or Tech, he's up there in Congress, and he's also talking about that college football is the heart and soul of America. But it is in danger. Danger, Will Robinson. That's what he's right. saying. So, okay, we're going to see if Nick Saban, 7-time national champion, who retired from college football in January of 2024, can get these real conversations started and maybe get something moving.
Well, I mean, as we said, everybody's been using the phrase guardrails and, how do you start the conversation? Because you said the jurisdictions and how things vary from state to state, the different rules that have been passed, and everybody in the Southeast kind of all got on the same page immediately. Okay, make sure, we're not going to get out, spend no cap on this state, and that's fine. But to me, I thought they were going with this federal judge, which seems to be like working at a snail's pace, right on her decision, was about $20 million. Right, Day-Day, it was $20 million per school across the board.
It is. 20 and a half.
And then so you have a salary cap. And then, unfortunately, the NCAA will then look to see if anybody's skirting the salary cap, as you said, through unauthorized, contributions from boosters or whoever. And that sounded, other than the NCAA being empowered, it sounds like a pretty simple plan, right?
It does. And while we're talking about that, you're talking about the $2.8 billion House versus the NCAA settlement. This is what's hanging in the balance. So the attorneys have filed a brief. Basically, the judge came back and said, I have an issue, as many college coaches have, with the proposed roster limits. Because what happens is, guys, as soon as this goes into effect, you're going to have to cut people off your roster.
Right. And no more 150 guys like Bear Bryant had, or the gray shirt thing that Saban was doing, things like that.
So she says that's not right. You've given these kids a scholarship. What needs to happen is they need to be grandfathered in.
Oh.
And that is why she has an issue with the way this is going down.
Equal protection.
Of course. Because it is. I kind of agree with this. You're just cutting it to a number and saying, hey, we promised you this, but it's not going to happen. Either way, and then it gets to the $20.5 million salary cap. That's not the issue. It's how they get to these roster limits, which is it sounds like an insignificant thing, but it's a big thing when you talk to coaches around college football. Either way, the decision has not been made. And, Mike, she threatened and she was not going to pass this thing unless they made some adjustments to it.
That's what's been going on. You could argue, if you want to, if you feel that there's equal protection in the law. What's the problem? 150 guys, 125, where are you going to draw the line? If anything, yes, less guys on scholarship. It's going to have to start at one point. So the existing players get grandfathered, then it moves forward? I'm just doing the math on this in my noggin.
Well, like for example, high school seniors who were promised scholarships that were later rescinded because of the proposal of roster limits would be exempt.
Okay.
That's what she wants.
All right. Okay, I can see that. Now I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. And look, I know it sounds like a lot of mumbo jumbo, but the reality is this is going to change the way Georgia operates and everybody else around the SEC.
Well, but here's the thing. Right now, it's still the Wild West. We talked yesterday, what you said, Texas has spent $40 million.
Allegedly.
I said 140. You said 40. I think it's not more like 140. But Texas is going to go all in. So here's the deal. Any extra pressure on Sarkisian and Arch Manning? By the way, Arch Manning is going to stay for 2 years, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Unless he just, imagine if Arch Manning just balls out and says, see ya, drops the mic.
Yeah, look.
I don't envision that, but it just seems like
Texas
has got to break through on this one at this stage.
There's no rush. I want to remind people who his uncles are.
Right. It's not like he's got to.
Well, it's not that. Did Peyton stay?
Yeah, Peyton saw it through.
Did Eli?
Yep.
There's no rush. He understands the foundation of, I'm going to Joe this time. As soon as I get to the NFL, we know what that's about. He's just chilling, and everybody wants to rush him to the NFL or have him transfer out. he's fine. And I don't even know, Mike, what that number is. I heard what it was when they got him. I don't know what the number is now. I'm talking about NIL. So a lot of people said he was making more than Quinn Ewers, and he wasn't even playing.
Right. So, well, I mean, but the point I'm getting to is Sarkisian's got to bust through like the Kool-Aid man. I mean, you've been knocking on the door. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, regardless of it, just they've got it. They have been on everybody's short list now. They've got everything, and I would imagine, Carl, I don't follow Texas like you do, but the depth has got to be there.
It is.
Everybody they just put in the NFL, they've replaced, but still, you got to work a lot of new faces in a year with high expectations.
Well, it's like Ryan Day, Mike. When Ohio State went all in, there was extra pressure for him to get it done. Right. He convinced all his guys to come back, and then they spent more money than anybody last year in NIL, and they won it. Great.
Still couldn't beat Michigan.
Sark's still in that. He's going to potentially be, if they do the similar thing, he's going to be in the same situation.
Well, and look, and I'm just not cherry-picking on Texas. This is why, you know, when everyone, we did that coaches list that USA Today came up with, Kirby is number one on the list. But now, I mean, we just graduated, if you're Georgia, a bunch of guys off your offensive line, two of your best players on defense.
16 guys in the NFL.
And now you've got to, you know, retool with a schedule that's easy, like slightly easier. At least the tough teams are coming to your house this year. But still, it's... it's just not like you. I just don't think for Georgia fans, if your expectation is, it's still never going to be the 21-22 like it was, where you had the extra depth, where you had five-star replacing five-star, was my point, that had game experience, that was able to come in and be that guy. Just don't seem like, and of course, you're the X factor of a great quarterback, and you still don't know what Gunnar Stockton is. In the preseason rankings, Gunnar Stockton even like one of the top five quarterbacks.
Are you saying Georgia won't contend this year?
I just don't know what they're going to do. I mean, because the two ways of looking at it. Last year, you didn't get to the Natty, but you also got a game away from the Natty with a team that wasn't even one of your best teams in the last 4 years.
Right.
So it does show that Kirby has got that secret sauce. I harp on the offensive line. I harp on Bobo's play calling. But even on a down year, kind of like with Nick Saban, a bad year for Nick Saban was semifinal, right?
Yeah. Look, it's just hard for me to believe that with the way things are at Georgia, even across the board, where we think they're not as good as some teams, they're better than most. And that's why I still think – I can remember now. You don't have to be one of the top four teams. Georgia could lose three games and still be in the playoff next year. That's what's changed. I'm not going
to
tell
you. They were trying to find an excuse for Alabama in the 11th hour last year.
Absolutely. Right. But I'm not going to tell you losing is acceptable. All I'm saying is it gives you a little bit more leeway and some grace to say, hey, you know what? They're still one of the best teams. And I don't think we're going to go away from that. I don't think the college football committee is going to go away from that.
Hey, we're just talking about, and Data had it in Yeah Man, No Man, talking about this, the president appointing Nick Saban to run this commission. Auburn's athletic director, John Cohen, spoke today about it. The quote, Carl, says, if you can't make decisions without ultimately appearing in court, you can't lead. Like that. He goes, and we desperately need that type of leadership. And that's why I think eventually this has to happen. So we'll see if it does.
Well, everything is a legal lawsuit or a settlement nowadays. To his point, you can't get the college coaches together around the country in the two most powerful conferences and say, this is what we need to do and let's do it, without having some kind of legality to it or some kind of, 7 to 8 or 2 months or 2 years of legal court cases, Mike. That he's right. But that's where they are. You know why? Because nobody agrees on what it should look like.
Right. And there's always, there's some folks still hanging on to the academic argument, although it seems quaint at this stage. By the way, it was a pretty cool. We were talking about Travis Hunter going down. I saw yesterday he graduated from Colorado.
Yeah.
He was a two-time. I had it on my Twitter post just while we were joking around about Florida State actually having a good grades while their football team was terrible. Yeah, Travis Hunter, Carl, he was a two-time All-American academic, All-Academic team,
great. But I think we've mentioned this. For the first time ever, Colorado's football team had a 3.0.
Yeah, but how come
the team is concerned?
How come nobody mentions that when they're taking shots at Deion?
Well, Mike, they put out a great social media post. They had their dean of academics there. They're talking about it's never been achieved. And to your point, like, that's the stuff that goes unspoken, right?
Right. Hey, by the way, I was trying to find it last segment. Day-Day was talking about, strength of schedule and eventually the SEC going to 9 games. I couldn't punch it up in my computer in time. It's amazing that Billy Napier kept his job. Remember, he was like dead man walking.
He was.
Basically 2 weeks into the season. For them to basically get to a bowl game, it's just mind-blowing. But, to play the toughest of the tough. I mean, this schedule, I'm going back and looking at it. There wasn't a day off, save basically for Vanderbilt. I mean, everybody. South Carolina was great last year. You know what I mean? They could have beat Alabama. But it just you go back and you look at that schedule. It's like, geez, what a meat grinder that they went up against, having to play, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs and having to play LSU and everybody else that you're used to seeing in an SEC schedule. Nobody in the Big Ten has any 4-week patch like the Florida Gators or Georgia had.
And by the way, I like Napier's quarterback. I think they're going to be all right now. I think they may have made the turn with what they did last year. All right, we're coming back. We're going to give you some reasons to be optimistic about this upcoming season. You can tell us all you want about what you think the Falcons are, what they're not. We're going to give you reasons to be optimistic next. Coming up, Falcon Report, 5 o'clock. If you missed our interviews with any of the rookies that we had on today, you're going to get a chance to hear them. And, look, I'd love to tell you one was better than the other. I was impressed with all three. I think we got, really energetic, smart guys to join this football team. Mike, we don't know what the future holds for a guy like, you know, Jack Nelson, who's a 7th-round pick. But this is a guy that you take a chance on because of where he played, the history of those kind of linemen at Wisconsin. And certainly, you know, you're talking about an academic All-American, smart dude, Mike, really good run blocker. And he was talking about the zone blocking, but I got to tell you, Billy Bowman really and thoroughly enjoyed our interview with him. And Xavier Watts, guys, is going to be a player. I just feel like he might be the most impactful guy because he's going to be on the field a lot for us.
Yeah, and it's funny because we were talking to Jack, and we had a bunch of guys at the time on our text line that were all excited to hear some of these guys. And a lot of guys really getting juiced with Xavier Watts, who was kind of something. I was trying to set him up to poke Georgia fans. Like, they beat him. He was a defensive player of the game.
That's
so
true.
It happened. But it was funny because, you know, there's always like the sourpuss, you know. There's always that, like my neighbor Dennis. There's always the guy. Yeah, well, as we're talking with Jack Nelson, some guy hit us up on the text line. I think his name is. He didn't give it anonymous. Put your name on it. Put your name behind it. But the dude, he read. Well, I read his NFL draft profile. It says average backup or special teamer. Well, yeah, he went in the 7th round. I mean, time will tell. I mean, go back and see what Grady Jarrett's, you know, prospect grade was, you know. But, I mean, yes, he's 6'7", 314, and he played Wisconsin, and he started all the games. So I think we'll be okay, you know. And I said this earlier, as much as I've given the front office heat about this or that, I think they've done a really good job with offensive line depth. You know, I mean, there was years, guys, if we lost one guy, let alone two, we were dead in the water.
Done.
We played games with three backups at times, you know. Neusel's been great. We talked about all the other depth pieces they've added. Bergeron was a great draft pick. So if they evaluated Nelson as worth taking, I think he's worth taking.
Let's give our listeners a couple of reasons why we are optimistic about the Falcon season. One, they addressed what we wanted them to. We can no longer say, man, if they don't draft pass rush, they did. I mean, we got to get optimistic about it. We don't know how good it's going to be, but that is one reason why we can at least say, all right, you know what? They did it, and they finally did it. And by the way, they did it in free agency as well with Leonard Floyd. So you got Floyd, you got Jalen Walker, you got James Pierce, to include the other guys that are on this team. That is a reason to be optimistic.
I mean, we picked up a guy named Morgan Fox. Maybe we were joking about picking up Megan Fox.
Oh,
I was
right.
Very excited.
That's right.
No, we got Morgan Fox, who played with the Chargers. So you don't even know who that – half the guys don't even know who he is. We still have a guy that we haven't seen yet, and I know that we're excited about him. But, again, I don't know what Braylon – I do know this. We talked earlier in the show about RG3 saying how difficult it's going to be for Shedeur Sanders. It got imminently more harder for Braylon Trice to get on the field as a starter now with the things we did on this draft. I mean, you've got guys that are going to be – I mean, we believe we got a rock star in Jalen Walker. And he's going to be a guy that I think he's going to earn the right to start from day one. And I think he's going to have valuable reps, and it's going to – away we go.
I'm with you. Here's another reason to be optimistic. Michael Penix has shown us promise. He's not shown you that he's an all-pro, you know, three-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback, but he's shown you promise. When's the last time you felt that way at the quarterback position? You didn't feel that way with Ritter. You did not feel that way with Mariota. I mean, you felt it a little bit with Kirk Cousins until it went south. The fact of the matter is, with the little playing time that he got, as far as the game playing time, guys, three games, Mike said, is it enough sample space? He's shown us promise. For me, that gives me optimism about the season.
We played the audio from Brian McFadden hanging out with Michael Penix. It was really cool. They hung out at a Waffle House and they're talking about, you know, we'll play some of the audio for you if you missed it later. But they asked him, and one thing that BMAC was excited about is that same play you and I talked about over and over was the touchdown throw to Kyle Pitts in the red zone against the Commanders on Sunday Night Football. And as he talks it through and BMAC walks him through, you know, having that poise, as you said, Carl, stuff that some veterans have a hard time with in the league, you know, getting a linebacker off, trying to using your body motion, using your head, getting the guys off, and then you get the target, and it's a tight window. He delivers the football. That's something which, again, as advertised, how many times when we didn't even know we were going to have Michael Penix Jr., we were talking about Washington, you know, against Oregon or in the Pac-12 championship or in the bowl game. Like, man, that Michael Penix just drops it. And remember, we were dealing with Ritter and Heinicke at the time.
That's right.
And we were saying, look at this guy. 50 yards down the field, he's dropping dimes, putting it right in the breadbasket.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and Ritter, that reminds me, Mike, to your point about this play. And by the way, Dom, let's play that again for our listeners who missed it, because I think this is great stuff. As he walks us through this game, it was the game-tying throw. We don't make that. Game's over. But before we get to it, real quick, Ritter. He always focused in on the guy he was going to go to.
Tunnel vision. Locked his. He wasn't prepared. He was a third-round pick. For every Russell Wilson, there's 1,100 guys that don't make it.
And Mike, so when you hear Michael Penix talk about moving the Mike linebacker where he needed him to go, because I'm reading his eyes, he's reading my eyes, that's the stuff that we're talking about. Just go back to Ritter. Go watch if you want to. Ritter, I got to go to Drake. I'm looking left. Yeah, I'm going to throw to Drake.
It just wasn't in the toolbox.
No.
You're right.
Here is Michael Penix talking to our man, Brian McFadden.
I'm reading my bender, so I know I have two high safeties, so I'm reading my bender. Just got to hold the mic, you know, keep him away from where I want to throw. So I'm looking this way, knowing I'm finna throw it to him, because the window on that side look better than the window.
So pre-snap alignment, because of the two high safeties, look, you already knew where you were trying to go with the football.
Yeah.
You just needed to move that middle linebacker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So once I got the ball in my hand, just, you know, playing the game with my eyes, you know, just make sure, tying my feet and my eyes together, you know, and then
the rhythm.
Just throwing it.
And that thing for me, because that's fourth down.
Yeah.
You don't make that play, game over.
Exactly.
For me, when I saw you manipulate the backer, already knowing I'm coming back side, Kyle, when he hit that outside foot ball there.
Yeah.
That right there was like, okay, he cooking with gas.
Love it. And that's BMAC cooking with gas. So those are the things that give us, you know, a reason to be excited. But as we said, I wasn't trying to be, you know, that guy a few days ago. But it's just, we don't know yet. But that's a sign that you check that off as a positive.
Promise. Look, it shows promise. Here's one other thing, and I mentioned this earlier. And look, this may go overlooked, but our defense got faster and we got more playmaking. It's another reason to be optimistic. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're just telling you, hey, we've been talking about all this stuff. We've got the rookies on the show today. Mm-hmm. We've been discussing all these different things. You know, some of you think, hey, we're being too hard on James Pierce. We want to be honest with you about all of this. So however it plays out, you were aware. If he's great, he's great. And maybe there are no issues. If you start to have issues and Mike, he's late for meetings or things of that nature come up and we go, hey, we told you he was immature at Tennessee. These are the things that some people were concerned about. We just want to be honest with you. And that's the only reason. I'm not going to bang on him. I hope he's terrific. But this is why some people question the pick. And there are other picks like Jalen Walker that nobody questions. There's not one person going, you know what, Jalen, man, I don't know what they were talking about. I don't know what they did. That is not what you're hearing about that pick. So there are two sides to every story, right? But I think, Mike, when you talk about speed, getting to the ball, making plays, you drafted intentionally guys that can do that. Jalen can run. James is a 4-4 guy.
Right.
Xavier Watts can run.
James was the fastest D lineman at the combine.
Okay. So you start adding this to what you already have. Now you're talking about, all right, getting sideline to sideline. Linebackers and outside guys being able to cover these guys.
Right. Speed and size. I mean, it's kind of a transformation because you guys know for so many years with Dan Quinn, we had the undersized linebackers. It was a 4-3. They got to cover all the real estate, and that was the style. And it's not like you're going back to like the Ray Lewis or giant, you know, middle linebacker, but we've got guys that kind of check all of those boxes for what we're looking to do. And you're right. It still drives you crazy when an edge rusher or an outside linebacker drops back to cover a tight end or a receiver. But hey, give Judon credit. The Tampa Bay game that we won on the road, he deflects a big third down conversion, breaks up a pass. So sometimes it is warranted and needed in the defensive setup. But We've got a bunch of athletes. And Jalen Walker, as we said, I know the comparisons to Micah Parsons, he's heard a million of them, but because he is that guy on tape. He is that dude for Georgia, you know, against better competition than what Micah did against Penn State.
No doubt. All right, guys, want to hear from you. Give us one reason why you're optimistic. That's all we're saying. I mean, we can talk about all this negativity and, you know, oh, look. And by the way, this is not saying that Coach Rod is going to get every coaching decision right. We're all going back into the season next year going, did he learn from last year? It's a fair thing to say.
What am I excited about? I'm looking forward to seeing the kicking German, Lenny Creed, and see if he can beat out Young Wei Koo. Because as you know, Carl, we're always in close one possession games.
We are.
And I need to bank on a dude. First off, he's black. He's from Germany.
Okay.
That's an exciting combination for kicker. I haven't seen that. Not that Reggie Roby was German, but he was a punter. You didn't see a lot of that, Carl.
No, you didn't.
And watch this guy's highlight reel. He also runs in. I mean, there was a botched snap, and he gets a touchdown. And just, now, granted, I don't know what the level of competition was over there in Germany, but I ain't got much to go on video-wise for Lenny Creed.
Well, look, people are going to tell us, I guess, Mike, that Koo is healthy, and that's going to be the difference. We'll see in camp. Like now, something I hardly ever watch is field goal. Right? And they run out there and they practice a field goal, and he puts it through or he misses it. And sometimes you're like, oh, he missed it. It's no big deal. Every time he misses now this year, I'm going to be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, but if you Google, if you be Googling Lenny Krieg, one of the things he does at USF, 63-yarder. So it's just something to watch. I mean, granted, there's nobody on the field in his practice.
Yeah.
But anyway, still, it is 63 yards, so it did go through the uprights.
All right, that is interesting. I forgot all about that whole kicking thing. But I'm glad they brought some competition in. All right, Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, I was just talking to the boss, Mike Conti. He is a good Roman Catholic boy. I'm 18 years time served, Carl. But anyway, we got a Catholic pope, and he's a Catholic pope. They're all Catholic. We have an American pope, Carl. That's the difference. First time ever. And he's from Chicago. And the memes have been rolling today, so we'll give you some of that. Also coming up, what if I told you there was a clown with a chainsaw running loose in upstate New York? Is that something that might frighten you?
Yes.
Well, it sure did the residents of this town. We'll explain. Way to play is play. Tomorrow, guys, we're playing over at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Right there on Piedmont. Come and join the party, pal. I was joking around with Day-Day, his first time producing our show on site at Twin Peaks. Shot.
What? Get ready.
You better get a ride share, my friend.
Yeah, I already told the wife. told the wife not to expect me until like 12.
Yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah, it's on. As I said in the promo you'll hear tomorrow, it's a special time in a boy's life. His first day producing at Twin Peaks. So a lot of fun. And we'll lift a pint in honor of our first American pope. How about that? You know, it's funny. I was joking around with Carl the other day about the odds on who was going to, you know, win the conclave. Well, you know, be chosen to win the conclave. But who would be chosen as the new pope? But, I mean, literally, guys, they're saying over $350 million in the States was bet on this alone.
I believe it.
Isn't that crazy? Around the world. So not just in the States, around the world.
I did not expect it to happen this quick.
Right.
I mean, they literally went black smoke and people were like, yeah, then white smoke. And it was like, wait, they're done? So
yeah.
More than
19 million in America. Sorry. You know me, Carl, I was going to proofread. They're saying 35 million around the world, but 19 million here coming to the States.
Pope Leo. And he's an interesting guy, man. I mean, like seriously with his American background, to Mike's point, but was watching some of the coverage today and man, Mike said it, to be there in the Vatican today, like if you were just, on vacay and happened to be over there, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It's just kind of wild because the movie Conclave, even if you're not Catholic, I mean, still, it's a great, you know, like, what's a good movie? Good storytelling, dramatic, you know, plot twists, great actors. That's what Conclave has. Carl and I both watched it. I got to see it coming back from Vegas. But being, I told you the story when we came back from Rome, being in the Sistine Chapel with Becky, and, you know, it's silence. Every few minutes, you hear the announcement, silence.
Yes.
I mean, it's goosebumps and looking up and seeing, you know, God's hand. I mean, it's just the murals and all the stuff. It's just, it's mind blowing to know those guys are in there for 2 days, make the decision. But one thing for certain, Carl, you're right. If the crowd was available to be in Rome today for Vatican City, a very special introduction since the Pope, of course, is the first American Pope. But he was born in Chicago. He then got himself a mathematics degree from Villanova. So now you could actually say, entering the Vatican at 5:11 from Villanova, Pope Leo the 14th. I mean, you could technically do that, you know. You know what? I mean, I'm not even from Chicago, but keep it going. Let it play out. I mean, it's just, you heard, by the way, we didn't have this in Guy Talk yesterday. When the NBA switches over to NBC next year, they're going to bring back the old announcer using AI.
Yes, they are.
Because it was so, I mean, but how about, I don't know, regardless if you're a LeBron man or you're a Michael man, you know, from North Carolina. I mean, it's just, you still get hype when you hear this too.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool, man.
No, yeah. But like if you turn on, it's on YouTube. If you want to just get chills, Mike's right. Just right. Go check that intro out. When the Bulls were at their height, and it's just the best in the NBA.
Right. So, as I said, $35 million around the world from degenerate gamblers, probably mostly Catholics, betting on who the Pope be. I know I had some action in on it. Munson put it down for me in L.A. But $19 million here in the States. If you had voted for the Cardinal, and again, now he is Pope Leo the 14th, but it's Cope. Cardinal Robert Prevost from Chicago spent much of his time in South America. He actually has Peruvian citizenship and has spent the last couple of years in the Vatican. So some are saying it might have been a compromise candidate. He's got some views that are left, some that are right, but we shall see. But he was literally 100-1. So if you put some money down on this on this candidacy, he was not even close. He was, you can look it up. New Pope, elected as massive long shot.
Yeah, as quickly as it happened, though, and look, inside of the conclave, you are convincing others who may or may not know your position on certain things. Right. And I think as quickly as this happened, Mike, he had a lot of people in his corner. Like, this didn't go on weeks. And so it is interesting, but as many Catholics have said, and guys, again, this is a worldly story. It's why we started the show talking about it today. It's a big deal.
Right.
But, you know, they're saying, hopefully, Mike, that it continues to be an extension of what they had with the previous pope. And he talked about the previous pope, too, in this speech today.
I screwed up, by the way.
What's wrong?
5'11" with his hat, 6'6" from Villanova. That's the mitre, Day-Day, you know, the big pope's hat. That's the mitre. So, you know, 5'11" with the hat, 6'6". Kind of like Fletch. 6'9", 6'11" with his afro.
That's right.
Chevy Chase is Fletch. Anyway.
Love Fletch, man.
All right, man. All right. I had the story. I got to give you the payoff. Apparently, in upstate New York, security videos have caught a very disturbing situation. I guess this is near Albany, New York. I mean, I never even heard of this place called Coho's, New York. Apparently, a man was wearing an evil-looking clown mask and wielding a chainsaw.
I'm sorry.
So I don't know about you. Clowns freak me out. They've always freaked me out. I nearly kicked a Ronald McDonald in the shin one time in Newport Richey, Florida. It freaked me out. But apparently, a brief scuffle, local police arrived, and the clown was arrested on charges of menacing an individual with, quote, a dangerous instrument or deadly weapon from the local police, who tell WTEN News. We received a call on Thursday, May 1, about 2:40 in the area of Lancaster Street, a fight between two males. Says one resident, I was walking mom out to her car, said Natalie Gwynn. She was going to pick up my daughter from school, and I saw a dude in a blue sports jersey and a clown mask walking down the street. It was a little weird, but I kind of rolled my eyes and ignored it. Security video shows the clown walking down the street in the area right before the police were called about a fight between two males. Quote, he started to look into people's vehicles. One of the neighbors came out to ask what he was doing. Another TV station reports, WNYT News. I heard a man screaming, call the cops, call the cops. It felt like a few seconds later. At first, I thought they were making a movie. Security video shows a local resident holding the clown down. Obviously, didn't do a really good job of wielding the chainsaw, apparently, after he tackled him. So I guess he tackled him. The chainsaw falls to the ground. Police are then seen surrounding the two men, eventually arresting the clown and taking him to Albany County Jail. Officers arrived. They separated the two. And, wearing a clown mask and possession of an electric chainsaw. It's an electric chainsaw, okay. As menacing.
No, it's not.
Gas-powered makes more noise.
Oh, it does, yeah. And it's certainly a lot scarier. But still, who's doing this?
Well, the guy also, they said the clown was charged with three offenses.
The clown.
Two, possession of a weapon. The other, in addition to the chainsaw, here's where it gets a little scary. He had a metal knuckle knife, one of those knives that has, like, the spikes on the knuckles. He had on his person. And then the third, the fact that he menaced someone with a chainsaw, which is a dangerous instrument. And this is from Bro Bible. Great website, by the way. The recent spate of clown arrests is becoming reminiscent of a wave of creepy clowns that terrorized people back in 2016.
Oh.
Clown trouble in New York on the heels of clown arrests in Northern Ireland, one in Palm Bay, Florida, and one in Uman, Mexico.
I don't have as much of an issue with clowns unless they're in
they're in a sewer, like it?
Yeah, that, like, Mike, if I'm walking down the street and then I just glance over and there's a dude looking at me from the sewer, I'm gonna have a little bit of a problem, okay?
Oh my goodness!
But just a guy walking on the street in a clown outfit, I don't know. I don't know if I'd freak out because just, you know, we see craziness all the time. As you like to say, it's a Wednesday in Midtown.
I mean, yeah, I just, living in Midtown, it really was just the stuff you'd see. But yeah, clowns. Day-Day, by the way, our new producer, let's get to know Day-Day. Let's go behind the scenes. Are you a person who's frightened by clowns?
No, not at all. I'm not frightened by clowns whatsoever.
Your children?
To my knowledge, none. The boys are, I mean, they're boys, man. I raise men.
All right, okay. Day-Day's kids are not, they're no clown phobia.
Now, the best time, I will tell you, one of the best times I scared the kids at Halloween, right. We had a big get-together, and all the girls and everybody are at the house. And speaking of a chainsaw, I took the chainsaw off, but I started it.
Oh.
And I had the mask on. I had either a Scream or the It mask. I forget.
Oh, dude.
And literally, lights go out.
Oh, snap.
So I kill the house lights, and I hear, Mom, the lights are, because they're down there watching TV, and so and the tea, and they're down there having a party, and then all of a sudden, and I come through the back door. We didn't film it. I wish to this day we would have.
Well, that could have, dude, you had 2 bazillion hits on
they
that.
Were screaming and hollering, because then they didn't know, right? And I'm like, I'm going to get all of you. And then the lights come back on because Michelle turns the lights on, and they're like, Dad! And it was the best. It was the best. But that's about as far as I've gone. And like, because I know, man, when you scare kids like that, the nightmares you have. We all remember there's something that scared the bejesus out of us.
Those haunted houses that they used to do, you know, and sometimes it would be like a local youth group or whatever. It would be, they always have somebody doing that.
Yeah.
And you'd bust out of the house. And you still do those haunted houses, by the way, they have in Cobb County or in the neighborhood? I stay away from that.
Well, but I don't like the super scary one. Like
the
ones
Netherworlds.
That's too much, man.
No way, Jose.
No, that's too much.
Let my wife tell the story. She swears up and down when we were dating. We went to one of those. I think it was Netherworld. She swears up and down that there was a time period throughout the course of the house,
right,
that I left her as she fell on the floor.
Did you?
No.
You don't remember it that way.
I'd like to see. These would be memes that would basically be priceless right now. You guys would be zillionaires on that stuff. Hey, man, some more stories from the world of sports. Metallica just played in Blacksburg, Virginia. Now, that would be 2 words together that I never in a million years would have thought of when I was working in Bluefield and Roanoke and going to Virginia Tech. But, there's a great video of Metallica at Lane Stadium. I saw stuff that Rusty Manziel posted. Looks amazing. My buddy Chris, who lives in Roanoke, went up and saw the show, said it was unbelievable. It's just funny because when I was at Virginia Tech, there was absolutely nothing cool about Virginia Tech. It was 10 years before Mike Vick. Beamer, they're about to run out of town. Shane's dad, Frank, of course, who took over for Vince Dooley's brother, who got them on a lot of trouble with the NCAA. Carl, I was telling Day-Day before the show, when I was at Virginia Tech in like 1991, in the fall of 90, actually, the most raucous it would get, and now let's welcome the Heidi Tidies. That was a regimental band.
Oh, wow.
So you'd have the regimental band would come out, and it's time to do the Hokey Pokey. I mean, you think there's old alumni at Georgia Tech games? I mean, we're talking 75 to dead at the old Blacksburg at Lane Stadium. And they would literally, you put your left foot in, you take your left. And now you got friggin' Metallica playing at Lane Stadium, for crying out loud.
And I'm sure the stadium was rocking.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even get them to sign off on the Soup Dragons for a concert when I was at Virginia Tech. Hey, man, another story for you. This is kind of cool. From Xander Shoffley, we're getting ready for the PGA Championship.
Yes, we are. And, Charlotte, right?
Yep. It's up in Charlotte this year. And pretty neat. Nice tradition. You know, we know about the Masters dinner, and now we're a week away from the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow. Xander Schauffele is pretty cool as a defender. Listen to this. He goes, he is going to present apparently everybody who's a past a winner with a humidor and cigars. John Daly will pass on playing the PGA Championship this year, but he says, I can go there and miss the cut, could get $6,000, but I'm playing Birmingham. He's going to miss out on it. He goes, but I heard they're giving away free cigars.
Sweet.
Because, yes, pretty cool that Shoffley is going to be passing out cigars and a humidor to all past winners.
That's a great gift. It really is. Because, listen, these guys have everything they need. They got everything you could ever want. It's a great gift, Mike. So we always talk about the Masters dinner, to your point, and how it changes every year. Maybe this becomes a tradition.
But I like that. And by the way, I forgot to tell, because Carl's a big – you got way more cigars than I do. You got the walk-in humidor. But I met a dude, you know, as I was telling you about how cool it is when you go to Formula One races, and I didn't even know how great the stick was. You told me it's one of the best in the world. It's a Rocky Patel ALR is what it's called.
It is.
And it's, I guess it's a Toro. I met this guy from – I told you about the car dealership dude from Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I said, I go, wow, you've got all these beautiful women. I own Mercedes dealers. I go, how many? All of them.
Yes.
So he gave me, apparently it's a big, a nice stick.
It is. No, it's really
He's
good.
Carrying those things around, like, just, hey, giving them around, like, literally, like, they're cheap cigars.
Well, they're not. And I was telling you that, you know, he just came out with Emerald. Now, Patel's got a bunch of sticks out there. I mean, we could talk, have cigar conversations all day, but he just came out with one. It's called the Emerald. It's really good, but that's my favorite, the ALR that you're talking about.
Right.
It's got a little spice to it. It's
we
good.
Got to, now, we got a podcast. I know what you guys have been waiting on. We have a podcast, which is in the works. We'll have more details to come, right, Carl?
We are.
But that's one of those things. So we have some days it'll be sports. Some days we're going to get into some of our other favorite things, like sticks. But anyway, there's your guy talk. A reminder, guys, tomorrow we'll be there, 2 to 6, Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
All right, man. Coming up, you're going to hear our conversations with all the rookies that stopped by today. All three of them. You're like, what? Yeah, we talked to Xavier Watts. We talked to Billy Bowman. And we talked to Jack Nelson. You're going to get a chance to hear what they had to say about their draft experience coming to the A and how excited they are to be a Falcon. It's all on the way in the 5 o'clock hour.